RadioInfluence.com.
Welcome back to another edition of the MMA Report Podcast. It is Sunday, July the 18th. Hopefully you're having a great weekend if you're listening to us on Sunday, or if you're listening to us during the middle of the week, hopefully your week is off to a great start. Of course, this is the interview edition of the MMA Report Podcast, and I have got a pair of fire interviews for you here on this edition of the show. You're going to hear from Jason Witt, who's going to be a part of the UFC Fight Night card next week in Las Vegas as he takes on Brian Barberena. Of course, that'll be the card headlined by Uriah Hall and Sean Strickland. Spoke to Jason about what has been going on, his preparations for this one as he looks to bounce back. And then you're going to hear my conversation with Brett Martin, who's going to be in the co-main event of XFC 45 coming up here on August the 6th there, the XFC heading to Michigan. As I had a chance to talk to Brett about his last fight, which of course was a win there in the XFC, was a short notice fight replacement. He was actually supposed to take on Chris Barnett, but of course Chris Barnett ended up going to the UFC. So I spoke to him about his takeaways from that matchup, also talked about his fight coming up here at XFC 45 and some other things. So as always, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to download and listen to the MMA Report Podcast. Of course, two great ways to show your support here for the podcast and what I do in terms of covering mixed martial arts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. That really does help me out a lot as well. Also, what also really does help me out a lot is when you check out those offers that my advertisers have. Of course, you can check out all the advertisers of the MMA Report Podcast over at themareport.com. But I will say this, after the interviews, I do want to talk about a series of tweets about the PFL and what their future holds for them. But I do want to get right into the interviews. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with UFC welterweight Jason Witt as he talks about his matchup coming up here on July 31st at UFC Fight Night against Brian Barberena. Jason, as always, man, appreciate the time. It's always weird for me when I say, hey, Jason, when my name's Jason. It's always kind of weird for me.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah, it is. But as always, man, I appreciate the time. It's now been just over a year. You've been in the UFC and, this journey as a martial artist. As you think about where you were 14, 15 months ago to where you are now, what's the difference you see in yourself as a martial artist?
Just the confidence in myself to know, 14, 15 months ago, I want to be in the UFC. I should be in the UFC. Do I belong in the UFC? Short notice fight, loss of fight, win a fight, yada. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is. I know that I belong in the UFC. I know that this whole journey, this is where I belong, and I'm capable of doing this stuff, and this is where I should be. This is where I should have been for a while now.
Hearing you say that makes me think about this Instagram post you had about the fight, where you said, here to prove to myself what I'm capable of.
Yeah.
So what are you capable of?
Fantastic fucking things. Just brutal, violent things. I'm a fantastic fighter, and I know that. And I know my last fight doesn't show that, and that's not a part of who I am. You're going to find out July 31st. And I think Brian Barberena will bring out the best in me. And I really think it'll be one of those five the night performances. Just me and him going at it for 15 minutes of just fucking straight out barn burning fight.
Is it one of the things with the last fight that you just, it's like rearview mirror. I moved past it. Has that always been your mindset in terms of whether it's a win or loss of like, look, we're going to evaluate this thing, but it's gotta be rearview mirror. And I can't be worrying about what's next or I have to worry about what's next, not what's already happened.
Right. Yeah. Jason High always says in this game, you have to have a short-term memory and it really is. And then James Krause always says, win, lose, draw, doesn't matter. You got the weekend to cry about it, celebrate it, back to work on Monday. You know what I mean? So to have that, you have to have a short-term memory. And I'm not going to lie, that losing that fight the way I did, knowing, my honest opinion, I visualized losing that fight that way somehow. I don't know why. That's how I thought I'd go down. It was depressing for me. It was embarrassing to me. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't want to talk to my family. I didn't want to call my wife. I really didn't. It was one of those, but you have to be back in the gym. That's the only way you get over stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only way you get past fucking bullshit, embarrassing performances like that is go back in the gym, fix what you need to work on, and then get better every day.
You said something interesting there about, like, you, if you saw a loss coming, you saw it coming that way. Is that something that, because I always hear fighters talk about, hey, I visualize the fight going this way, that way, whatever way it is. But I've never heard a fighter say that, hey, I visualize how I could lose.
Yeah, so I always visualize the fight the way I want it to go, right? Like everybody else does. You always visualize how you want the fight to go, how you want the fight to win. But you got to visualize being put in bad positions too, to understand that when you get put in those bad positions, to get out of those, like, visualize, hey, okay, I've been here, how am I get out of this? And I didn't have a great camp going into that fight, and that's a long story. There's no excuses. Just that's the way it was. There was a couple instances in training camp that I know throwing that low calf kick, that I wasn't bringing my head offline, that I wasn't feigning enough, that I wasn't doing this, and I knew in my head, like, if I was going to lose, that was one of the ways it was going to happen. And walking straight into it, when I woke up, you know what I mean, like, I was out. Like, he put me out. And talking to Kraus, and Kraus being like, well, you just stepped in for a kick and threw the perfectly timed right hand. I was like, well, fuck me. That's how that shit happens.
And of course, you know, you mentioned about taking on Brian Barberena here. When I think of Brian Barberena, I just think of a tough dude. A dude that is going to be standing in the middle of you, and he's willing to eat a shot to get a shot off. Is that how you view him?
Yeah, absolutely. He's super durable. He really is. He's a tough fighter. He's had, what, 6-5 in the UFC. Had a great fight with Vicente Luque, but I think what people don't understand is if you watch that fight, Vicente Luque stood in front of him. You know what I mean? Vicente Luque is a great fighter, powerful, good boxer, good footwork, but he stood in front of him. That's not me. You know what I mean? Like I take my athletic abilities and I use that to my advantage. You know what I mean? So if I'm standing in front of Brian Barberena, I'm not just going to stand there and let him just swing for the fences. I'm shooting a single leg. I'm fitting in. I'm at least making him think, oh, takedown's coming, or I'm fitting in, or just trying to clinch to make him not just sit there and swing for the fence with me. So it's going to be a different game. I really believe that. I know that what I bring to the table and what I've been working on in camp, like I said, coming off that loss, I come back and I fix things. And I what I need to do, this is what I need to get better. And so these are things that I've worked on in my training camp that my coaches have seen, that I've seen, that really were putting together really well to put a game for him, Brian Barberena. Like, I'm not going to stand in front of you. I'm not just going to box with you. I'm gonna kick you. I'm going to shoot. I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I can to beat you. I'm going to win, and that's my game plan.
But, you know, you mentioned about his UFC record, but then when you look at who he's lost to, we're talking about the number one contender in Colby Covington, Leon Edwards, number three, Vicente Luque's, I want to say 5-4, somewhere in there. I mean, it's to the top of this division. I mean, everyone remembers that Luque fight. And the thing that I always remember is just, like, it was a fight where you're like, who's going to fall first? Because they were just landing bombs on each other.
Yeah. You should add my name to that list soon.
we definitely can add that name to the list soon. I mean, but, like, you hear it's always about, like, you know his abilities, but it's about you. I mean, is that the way you look at this fight? Is like, look, like, you know what? This is about me. I know what he's going to bring, but, you know, it's ultimately about of like, look, I've got to correct the things that I need to correct in gym, but also take advantage of the opportunities he gives me.
Yeah, it's, and I've talked to Kraus about this so many times. Like, hey, man, what's the game plan for this fight? What do you want to do? He's like, look, it's, I've never lost, and I truly believe this in my heart, that I've never lost a fight that the guy was better than Willis. Sorry, crazy dogs. I've never lost a fight that I truly believe the guy was better than me. I didn't lose because he was better than me. I lost because I beat myself before the fight even happened. And that's something that I've worked on over years. It's just a mental state. It's just something that happens to me, and that's just I know who I am, and I know what I got to work on. And so I work on harder in the gym to make that not happen. And so for me, it's just what do I do in the ring? It's not about what he does. It's not about, like, I don't care if you're better than me, worse than me, whatever it is, who you are. It's when I show up, I'm a bad man, and I'm gonna prove what I'm capable of doing. That's one of the reasons I said that. It's like, I'm gonna prove what I'm capable of doing inside the cage, regardless of who's standing across from me.
So, like, if someone was writing a book about your career to this point, would one of the main points be about of like, this game is as much mental as it is physical?
100%. Yeah, for sure. And I've had a lot of strides, and I've had a lot of gains, and I've had a lot of help from a lot of people like James Krause, who's a very mentally strong person in the fight game and outside. And yeah, I mean that's a lot of it, and it sucks to say that, and I hate admitting it myself, but that's just part of who I am, and understanding, you know, who I am.
Is James your toughest critic, or is it you?
Oh, my toughest critic by far. It's not far. Like if James has to worry about my career more than I do, okay, then we have a problem. And I mean, like, I should worry about what I'm doing wrong, what I'm doing right, and then James just helps me fix those things. That's what his coach is for. You know what I mean? I'm a grown ass.
You know, obviously you've been in this apex scenario now a couple of times, so it's very familiar territory to you. I mean, will fight week the routine you have changed and at all because you've done this now a couple of times?
I don't think so, because I mean every fight week's been, you know, very similar. Like whether I won, whether I lost, it was all the same. I don't believe in the whatchamacallit, stereotypes, or not stereotypes.
Superstitions?
Like, thank you. That was what I was looking for. I don't believe in superstitions. I don't believe in that stuff. Like, I think Conor McGregor said it best, like, superstition is just another product of fear. I don't believe in that stuff. Like, I try to just have fun on fight week. I was talking to Julian Marquez is coming out with me for this fight camp too. And I was like, hey, man, he used to work at Topgolf. I'm like, can we go out to Topgolf? He's like, I don't think you can leave the hotel. I'm like, we're still going through that bullshit. Like, you can't even tell him, like, I at least want to go, like, hit some golf balls or, like, watch a movie or go shopping, you know what I mean? Go to the mall or something. But, no, we still can't do that stuff. So yeah, my fight week it's just – I like to be chilled. I like to watch movies. I like to just hang out. Nothing crazy.
I was listening to somebody else talk about this, and they were talking about kind of, you know, what the fight game is in 2021 for fighters. And they said, you know, like, you hear that, you know, the fire code does that, you know, the media scrum 2-3 days before the fight. And like, the thing you don't think about is like, okay, so they're going to get a workout in, but then the rest of the day, they're likely just sitting in a hotel room in front of their phone, in front of their television, just like that. Like, is that as much the what makes fight week stressful? Is just like kind of like, man, there's just not much to do.
No, there's not. I mean, you fuck. I've seen everything on Netflix already. Like, what else am I gonna watch during fight week? You know what I mean? But yeah, it's boredom, playing chess, playing games. Excuse me. Just trying to find things to do to keep your mind occupied off that stuff, off thinking about the fight game.
Is it tough for you to get your mind off the fight game?
No, not really. No. I mean, it has been sometimes in the past, but man, I've made so many strides to be a better mentally fighter that doesn't even bother me anymore. I want to hit mitts. I want to hold some pads. I want to hit some pads and just kind of get a flow and break a sweat just to feel like it's fight week and feel a little more prepared. But other than that, no, it's, I'm going to watch 300. I want to watch, you know, Gladiator. I want to watch the fucking cutthroat movies that kind of just put you in that mindset and just enjoy that stuff.
Is it on fight day, is it tough to get in that mindset when you're just sitting around all day long?
No, not really. Like, I used to wake up at 4 a.m. So like, I would wake up during fight day at like 6 a.m. just be like, all right, let's do this shit. Like, that's the hardest part is just waiting. It's not really like not thinking about it. It's just like being bored and waiting, like, all right, let's go do this. You know what I mean? Now, we have fights that are like 2 o'clock in the afternoon now. Like, I think my last fight, I fought at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You were done by, you know, well, I was done a little earlier than everybody else, but, you know, so I was done like 3:30, and then, you know, you can do whatever you want. So
let me look it up. This is a 6 p.m. prelim East Coast time. So that'd be 3 p.m. local time there in Vegas. For the prelims, then the main car would be 6 p.m. local time.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's always the thing. Like, so, like, let's say you're fighting at 7 o'clock at night, and you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Do you and then say, okay, I've got to get a nap at some point?
Yeah, I try. So, I mean, I don't want to stay awake all day, but it's just sometimes your mind's going. Your mind's just rushing. Like, sometimes you're just, I'm excited to fight. Fight day comes, you're just ready to go. I mainly think about food, like what food I want to eat. All right, when's everybody else waking up so I can go eat breakfast? And I'm hungry.
Like, do you have like a go-to food item once you make weight?
Usually the sushi. I've always enjoyed sushi. My wife has a good sushi place back here at home that we go to all the time. That's what I love. Obviously, you can't do that in Vegas, but yeah, sushi is kind of one of my go-to meals.
Now, are we like getting like a boat of sushi? Like there's a place that when we go, we play in Atlanta, we go to a sushi place and we get like a boat. It's like 60 pieces of sushi on it. Like, are we that kind of sushi eater? Or are we like, no, I'll just have like, you know, a plate of sushi.
I mean, it depends. Like sometimes I feel good. Like, I mean, I could put away 4 or 5 rolls, no problem. So yeah, I mean, it comes out in a boat usually, but yeah, 60, and that, we're not putting 60 rolls here. We're not Zach Cummings. I've heard about Zach Cummings putting away just mounds of sushi, like Jesus, like carrying them out like that. No, like I'm 4 or 5 rolls in and I'm good. You know, depending how bad the weight cut was or how much I had actually had to cut.
Like you always hear about the bad weight cuts. Like, why do we never hear about the good weight cuts? Like you just wake up, hey, I'm on weight, I'm good to go.
I fight at 170. Like I'm not a huge 170, not a 170, big 70 pounder. I'm a muscular 70 pounder. So like, I'm not getting thrown around. You could see, like, I picked up Cole Williams, carried him across the cage, like, with ease. Like, I'm a strong 170-er, but cutting to 170 is not an issue at all.
But, of course, it all goes down here at the end of the month. UFC Vegas there, the last day of the month here. Jason, as always, man, I appreciate the time. Of course, let me know anything, follow you on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
My man, I appreciate your time. I was good talking to you before we got on the phone call. It was showing me like the history of like 2019, 2020, 2020. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. It's been a minute since we talked, and I appreciate that.
Great stuff there from Jason Witt. I really appreciate him coming on the podcast to talk about what has been going on with him and his matchup coming up here next weekend, UFC Fight Night, Hall versus Strickland. And really some interesting things there talking about. I will say this, you know, I've been interviewing fighters for, you know, over a decade. And the one thing that really stuck out to me, what he said there, and I can't ever recall a fighter saying that, hey, I visualized how I could lose a fight. Maybe it has come up in an interview in the past, but I just feel like that's just something I've really never heard a fighter talk about. You know, when a fighter talks about how they visualize the fight going, it's always about how they visualize the victory coming. So very interesting stuff there from Jason Witt. We'll see how he can do there against Brian Barberena. And yeah, it was crazy looking at Brian Barberena's record and the fact that when you look at his losses, a majority of these guys are all at the top of that UFC welterweight division. Now, coming up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Brett Martin, the heavyweight out of Michigan. He is going to be in the co-main event of XFC 45. I had a chance to speak with the man that goes by the nickname Big Dog to talk about his matchup here at XFC 45. Also, we talked about his win at XFC 44. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man being the co-main event of XFC 45. As he said on his Instagram, you don't have to ask questions anymore. He's back in Michigan. Brett Martin. Brett, appreciate the time, man. You know, I was going through your Instagram, and by the way, congratulations on becoming a father later on this year. You know, one of the things that stuck out to me, it was a post about your last fight where, you know, obviously you got the win, got the decision win there. You said, but wasn't my cleanest performance. You know, so how did you and the team evaluate the fight?
I think I did well. You know what I mean? You know, with what it was, you know, sometimes you go in there and you don't perform at all. So I'm just happy I, you know, came out on top. You know, that's a one thing I can say. But I don't know. I think right away, the first thing I noticed is I got to stop critiquing myself so much during the fight. You know what I mean? Kind of just let myself fight. You know, so that was like my biggest evaluation from myself is, you know, if I get hit with something or if I feel like I'm not in the right position at the right time, who cares? You know what I mean? Just stay positive and keep doing what I'm doing. So, but me and my team, I think coming in heavy like that was kind of a test just to see, and plus to show people, you know, how big I am on the off camps or, you know, even during camp if I want to be. You know what I mean? I'm a big guy and I enjoy food. So when they said I didn't have to make 265 or, you know, I kind of asked for it just because, you know, it was like the third time in a row something had happened like within a week and a half, 2 weeks out from a fight. And you know, with her being newly pregnant and, you know, I mean, having cravings and doing stuff like that, I want to be able to enjoy that time with her. And you know, so I kind of use that as, you know, a time to give her. And then now that we're back in Michigan, obviously I'm super excited to be back at heavyweight, but definitely, was different being that heavy during a fight. I haven't done that in a super long time. And, I definitely don't ever want to be that heavy. If I ever fight super heavyweight, I'll probably come in, you know, between 280, 285, maybe even 290, but that extra 10 to 15 was definitely goofy.
You mentioned about just to, you know, in the fight, you know, not getting, you know, on yourself during the fight. Is that something that it's just the mental side of this game? Like, because you hear, no matter what we're talking about, fighting, football, baseball, basketball, whatever it is, you know, they always talk about the sport is as much mental as it is physical.
Oh, yeah. I at least for me, it's always been that way. You know, I've lost a lot of matches in wrestling and a lot of sporting events. You know, my football team was never great. We didn't have a lot of guys. I played, you know, all around. I was on everything. You know, I was kicker, you know, fullback. I've tried to play every position on defense, every position on offense, knew all the plays so I could help all my teammates. You know, I've always been really smart, and I've always tried to stay super positive no matter what's going on. And I feel like a lot of the people around me see that and believe it to be true. So, as long as I'm mentally good, man, you'll always see me enjoying it. You know, I don't really care about wins and losses. I believe in, you know, just testing ourselves. You know, that's why we're really here. And, you know, with me becoming a father, you know, there's a lot of things recently. I've just, like, you know, my eyes are open. You know, they're wide open, and my ears are open. You know what I mean? Once again, you know, I go through these phases in my life where my brain tells me to either, you know, go at it or listen. So I've been listening a lot lately and just seeing a lot of things. So to be where I'm at, you know what I mean? You know, other than, you know, the money, say to speak thing, you know, which it is what it is. It's always going to be, you know, you want more money. That's all you ever hear people saying. So I'm just super happy with where I'm at. And, you know what I mean? Like I said, I'm just blessed. You know, I think I'm 12 fights in. You know, I've won a lot of fights. I've had some things happen, you know, good and bad. And I've just rolled with the punches this far. So pretty much right now, it's just like, you know, what could happen that we're not going to be prepared for. And even if it is something I'm not prepared for, we'll find a way to be prepared for it.
You know, obviously we all know, kind of know the story with you of, you know, of obviously with COVID and the inactivity that you had. I mean, did you feel like you had to get a little cobwebs off the shoulders in that matchup, or is it one of those things you walked into where it's like, man, I'm just back home?
Yeah, no, I felt like the biggest thing was for me was, you know, I was just really in my head. You know what I mean? I expected a lot of myself, and I've always been that way. Like I said, I lost a lot. And then I got really good, and I've always been good since then. You know what I mean? So I always expect so much of myself just because I feel like I'm a lot different than most people. And just for, like I say, finding that balance to, you know, let myself be myself in the cage. And, you know, I'll worry about critiquing the small things later, you know. But past that, no, I think, you know, my biggest attribute of anything is just being active. You know, when I'm an active fighter, you know, things are good. But like I said, now that the layoff's over, it could be one of the best things that's ever happened to me. You know what I mean? We don't know. We'll know in the future. And it just creates a storyline. You know, whether I keep fighting or, you know, I stop tomorrow, you never know. You know, anything can happen in life. But at least I can show that, you know, I never gave up on myself for, you know, no BS other than, you know, if it was uncontrollable. You know, like, I've always controlled what I could control.
Yeah, that's a philosophy I live with every day. You can't worry about, you know, the stuff you can't control in life. You know, it's just a motto I've always lived by. And you got a fellow, you know, a fighter here, great record at 11-2, and Kyle Train down there at Samford.
Yep.
You know, obviously, he's fought some names coming off that win against Jack May. As you evaluated him as what he's going to bring to the table, was there something just immediately stuck out to you about him?
I mean, to be honest with you, man, I don't know if I've ever been more excited for an opponent. You know what I mean? Like, other than maybe Parisian, just because he's Michigan as well. Just off the, this is what I've built my career off, man. Finding these tough guys and getting these tough guys to come in and fight me, whether it's there or here. You know what I mean? So absolutely, you know, thrilled to have somebody come into my, you know, my area. You know, they called me the hometown hero on the post, which is fine. You know, I don't, all the pressure is good for me. I've been doing this since I was, like I said, a young kid. And it look, I like, from the way it sounds, from what I've seen and people have said, he has as well. You know, he wrestled and did some things when he was younger, and now he's, you know, doing great as a fighter as well. So couldn't be more thrilled, man. You know what I mean? Like I said, I love having absolute 100% guys that are going to show up, make weight, you know what I mean, and things are going to go well. And even if they don't make weight, you know, I've been there. Like I said, I've had things happen in my career, so, like, I've been there, done that, man. Shit's happened. So just thrilled to have another guy I know who's working hard at a good gym, and we're going to be able to build each other's careers from each other. You know what I mean? And that's the biggest thing I love. You know what I mean? Tough guys, for sure.
Do you feel pressure on fight night?
I get nervous, but like I said, that's just because I expect something from myself. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I get nervous a little bit, but it's not in a bad way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've lost fights. I've been knocked out. And the only time I got, like, I wouldn't say knocked out, but, like, you know, it was a flash KO early in my amateur career. And that happened at the Deltaplex. You know what I mean? So, in my mind, I got beat in my own town, which in where I grew up wrestling, you know, that was a big no-no. You know, you don't get beat in the home gym. You know what I mean? So, it, you know, I've been there, done it. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. It just feels so good to be this far in my career and to be able to fight in Grand Rapids. You know what I mean? Jamal's one of my main training partners. He trains and fights for the UFC or even Bellator. You don't see them dropping into Michigan that often. So to be ranked top 100 in the world on many platforms with another fighter and be able to come to my hometown and put on a fight, I mean, win, lose, or draw, how badass is that? You know what I mean? Because that's pretty big. You know what I mean? Definitely coming from a little small town like I came from.
Is your simple mindset of the fight game of like, okay, I'm going to have an understanding of what my opponent does well, what he doesn't do well, all that type of things. But at the end of the day, like, I have to be concerned about myself because, like, I've had athletes tell me in the past, like, there's been times where they said, you know what, I just thought way too much about my opponent, and I just didn't concentrate enough on myself.
Yeah, and you hear that, you know, guys are like, oh, I don't watch video no more, or I shouldn't have done this, or I shouldn't have. I just don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I've done, like I said, I played football, I played baseball, I play softball now, I fight now, I work, you know, with mechanical stuff, I'm electronical okay, you know what I mean? I do lots of things. I'm stepping into being a dad, and that's the most exciting thing to me in the world, because it's a challenge, you know, so I don't really care. I don't dig too deep into it. What I see is what I see. What I learn is what I learn. You know, I don't try to build a story about what this guy's going to do or, you know what I mean? I go in there and try to be my best self, because when I'm my best self, that's when I'm the most dangerous. And I've said that repeatedly. And I don't give a shit how I look or how I walk or talk, you know, and I feel like that's the most beautiful thing about the fight game is, you know, the cover of the book isn't always what the inside of the story is. You know what I mean? That's what I love.
So if someone was going to write a story on your career to this point, how would you describe that story?
I mean, don't give up on the big boys. You know what I mean? People are different. You know what I mean? Don't give up on the people that are different. I feel like you see a lot of the women get, you know, portrayed as, you know, well, people talk bad about their bodies and stuff, but men get it too. You know what I mean? And not, you don't get to see it at that level, because in the workplace, big guys are respected, man, because you do the work. You know what I mean? When something's heavy and somebody can't move it, or, you know what I mean, you need a little bit more strength, who's the guy you call? You know, the big guy. He didn't choose that. It's just what he is. So I'm just here for that, I guess, if that's what you want to, you know, write a story about. Really, I just came into this. I've never gave up on myself. It's one thing my parents, you know, drove into us. You know, don't ever – Angie, girl, please. Don't ever quit, you know, don't ever give up on yourself, or, you know, don't ever let anybody else tell you what you're going to do or how you're going to do it, you know, definitely once we're adults. So I've always just believed in myself, you know, and if people ever want to write a story, yeah, you know, maybe don't give up on yourself, no matter what you look like or what people are going to say you're going to do, you know, because I think people have been questioning me long before I even went pro, let alone now.
Are those questions still surprising to you?
Yeah, I don't know. Surprise, surprise. I guess it's hard for me because, like, you hear Dustin say it in his interview, and that's why, you know, I've always been a Dustin fan, but every time he fights, you know, I fall more in love. And I like Connor too. I just think the after the fight thing made me kind of cringe a little bit, because that's just I'm just a respectful fighter like Dustin. So, like, when you cross that line, it's just cringy to me. Some guys are like that, and that's fine. You know, that's the fight game. I'm not, like, taking any respect away from him. It's just how I feel, you know, but Dustin said, you know, the clickbait media, or, you know, and not even to say I have to deal with the media yet, you know, so I get some interviews or some posts, but nothing too crazy, you know, but usually it's just the fans, you know, the fans are the ones that ask the questions and say the things, but a lot of them have no idea, you know what I mean? That's fine. I don't dig too far into it. I usually mess with people. Like, if I'm just having a boring day and I'm not too busy, because like I said, I work and train mm-hmm. all the time. So if I'm just bored sitting there and I'm messing with somebody, it's not because I'm upset. It's just because I got time. You know what I mean? It's never a bother. I'm pretty good, you know, with whatever happens with me, you know, because I know I'm going to make it. So I just usually be relaxing.
Sometimes it surprises to me what people will type to fighters.
Yeah. And they're, you know, even some people that wrestled, or even, you know, people that know me closely, you know, and personally, not very many people, like I'm going to say, are disrespectful, but they just, I don't want to say don't understand what it takes. I mean, because nobody really ever will, except for the people who do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. But just even mentally, man, every day. And I feel like my wife sees it because I've been through so much with guys dropping out of fights and stuff happening. And I work a full-time job and dealing with the stuff at work too, you know, cause you're trying to make them proud as well. You know, I work just as hard in the fight game as I do in my normal job or in my normal life. You know what I mean? So I always expect the best. So it's always a struggle, you know what I mean, to stay positive mentally. And I feel like a lot of fighters don't get to talk about that because, you know, it's a more male dominant sport and you got to be so tough. But I told my friend, one of my friends today, I've always been lucky because my brain does this on its own. You know what I mean? And it's always kind of done that. I never like had a mental coach or nothing like that. I was just around good athletes and good friends. You know what I mean? And I always try to surround myself with the same people as I grow. So, you know what I mean? Not the same exact people, but the same style people, yeah. you know, say to speak. So, and it's always treated me good till now. So I'm just going to keep doing that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to what you just said there about having those like-minded people around you. But you'll be stepping back in there to XFC cage here on August the 6th there in Michigan. Brett, as always, appreciate the time. Of course, let me know things, follow you on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Yeah, shout out to all my sponsors here behind me. You know, as always, thanks to my teammates, my gyms, you know, all my people. And, you know, if you guys want to buy tickets, go to the link on XFC's page. I believe it's on my page as well. I'll be posting too. Go down to Fighter Selection, drop your name, my last name and the password, and buy your tickets. Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's always good talk. And, you know, I liked how it wasn't too fight related, but a little bit more personal. I always like opening up, you know what I mean? Talking about the behind the scenes or even just life. So, yeah, thanks once again. It was fun.
And that was my conversation with Brett Martin. I really appreciate him taking time out of his day to talk to me about what has been going on with him, get his takeaways from his win there at XFC 44, a matchup where initially he was supposed to take on Chris Barnett. Chris Barnett gets signed to the UFC and goes out there. And then, of course, also talking about you know, his fight coming up here at XFC 45, but also kind of you know, just about him. And obviously, he's a guy that he has a solid record. We saw him in LFA, and he's a big boy. I mean, he's a big boy. He's a guy that's got to cut down to get to 265 pounds. And, you know, look, he gets a win here at XFC 45. It would not surprise me that if you see Brett Martin in the UFC at some point, you know, is, you know, there's always going to be, you know, we've just seen it over the last year of there's going to be opportunities. And we'll see if Brett Martin maybe gets that opportunity. But first, he's got to get that win there at XFC 45. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I wanted to mention a point about something that I saw on Twitter in relation to the PFL, and it came from Scott Fontana of the New York Post. So this was last week, where he sent off a series of tweets following a conversation that he had with the PFL CEO, Peter Murray. And he started off with, he goes, quote, "A few additional stray bits of news and info, mostly regarding PFL's plans for 2022 incoming." Next tweet, "Fabricio Werdum and Anthony Pettis are confirmed to be back for the 2022 PFL season," PFL CEO Peter Murray told the New York Post. He said decisions would be made later regarding Nathan Schultz and Lance Palmer status for next year. His next tweet was, "With Fabricio Werdum still contracted to PFL, per CEO Peter Murray, that complicates any booking of a Fedor Emelianenko rematch, but Murray told New York Post that PFL welcomed the opportunity with Bellator to stage that event." And the final tweet that he had here was the tweet that caught my eye the most. Quote, "PFL plans to launch both a pay-per-view division and a pay-per-view challenger series to identify prospects to be added to the season," per CEO Peter Murray. "This would be up the number of PFL events from 10 in 2021 to more than 20 in 2022, Murray told the New York Post. So let me talk about that aspect. Then I want to talk about Nathan Schultz and Lance Palmer and the other aspect of this. Now, when I saw this tweet initially, my first thought was kind of like, that's kind of interesting. Wow. And you know, as a consumer, I was like, wow, another promoter is going to go the pay-per-view route. And the cost of being a mixed martial arts fan just continues to increase. But then I was like, hold on. I was like, isn't the PFL's TV deal up? Yeah, it's up. Yeah, I remember I found an ESPN article that noted that the deal with ESPN was for two seasons. So this is the second season. So that jumped out to me. In terms of the Challenger Series to identify prospects, I like that thought process. I think that's a great decision by the PFL. But here's what I think this really means. I think this means that PFL realizes that they have to have ticket sellers on the undercard to get people in the building. I think that's what it comes down to, is because, look, you can go to wherever in the United States. You can put someone like a Fabricio Verdum, an Anthony Pettis on the card, but they may not necessarily fill the building. And you got to get those local ticket sellers in. So that's where I think that's where I take they're going. But, you know, and I put this tweet out there. It was like, well, how much would you pay for a PFL pay-per-view? And for me, it's like, you know, it's not like they're drawing 500,000 viewers on ESPN. They're not. And so it's like you've been building this nice product, and it just seems like this is probably another money grab. This is probably a situation where they're trying to show their investors that they're doing things. But then it made me look into this a little deeper. Okay. So the cost of being a mixed martial arts fan in 2021. UFC pay-per-views, so $69.99 pay-per-view, times that by 12, that is $839.88 before taxes. ESPN Plus, I just got my ESPN Plus subscription is up at the beginning of the month, so I just got the notification the other day about how the yearly price has increased since the last time I got an ESPN Plus annual subscription. So a year ago when I got it, it was $49.99. It's now up to $59.99. I still think a bargain. I think ESPN Plus is a bargain for the amount of mixed martial arts that we are getting. I mean, you're talking, you know, 40-plus UFC events a year. The PFL has been on there. As a mixed martial arts fan, I think ESPN Plus is an absolute bargain. Showtime, so that's how we're watching Bellator. You know, obviously, you know, they did that special where you got the first month for free, and then what it was, you know, your first 6 months, which will be coming up for me here pretty soon, were $4.99. But so I just Googled Showtime app costs. So that's $10.99. So you times that by 12 months, that's $131.88. So if we just add up UFC pay-per-views, ESPN Plus, Showtime, you get every month all that stuff, you're talking $1,031.75. Look, and we all know this, it is not cheap to be a combat sports fan. I didn't include UFC Fight Pass. If you want Fight Pass in there, so there's another, you know, $10 a month. You know, you're looking at another $120 a year. Now, I mentioned the other, I don't know if it was last week's podcast or maybe 2 weeks before, I actually just got rid of Fight Pass because it became, for me, was I just wasn't watching it. You know, it would be, you know, I would tell you, man, last year during a pandemic, I loved watching Shale Son's Underground Submission. I really got into that. But I just found myself over the last couple of months, I just wasn't paying attention to what was on Fight Pass. I'll say this, like, you know, I am interested to, you know, that because they kept showing last night the promos for UFC Chronicles on TJ Dillashaw. Now that is something that interests me, but am I going to, you know, go get a Fight Pass subscription to just get that? No, I mean, you know, it's just for me, it was a decision I made of saying, you know what, I'm not using this app. Why am I constantly paying $10 a month for it? So, like, I understand, like, to me, the pay-per-view model for PFL, it says more about maybe, you know, the relationship potentially coming to an end with ESPN Plus, which that's not a good thing for the PFL. Let's just be honest about it. And the reality becomes is when you look at that PFL roster, who are you going to pay to see? Because I don't think they're going to do a pay-per-view for $14.99. I think you're looking at a $19.99, a $24.99, a $29.99 pay-per-view. Like, there's only one fighter currently on the roster that I would say that I would potentially pay to watch on pay-per-view, and that's Kayla Harrison. But it's been very well documented, and she's mentioned this, that she's a free agent after the season's over. And to me, I don't think she's back in the PFL because I think for a lot of fighters, they do look at the PFL as like, man, crap, man, I can make $1 million, win, you know, four fights, and I can win $1 million. But I think for Kayla Harrison, I just think she's at the point of She wants to prove she is the best women's mixed martial artist out there. And she cannot prove that in the PFL. She's going to have to go to the UFC. She's going to have to go to Bellator. You know, she's got to fight someone like a Chris Cyborg, right? You know, fighting her teammate, Amanda Nunes. You know, it's, and of course, she's going to have to do that at 145 pounds. You know, the UFC and Bellator are not going to create a lightweight division just for her. But outside of that, like, I look at the PFL roster and there's not really fighters I'm saying I'm going out of my way to watch them fight where I'm sitting there. Like, to me, like, there's certain fighters in mixed martial arts that I will go out of my way to watch them fight. You know, Kayla Harrison to me is one of those fighters. Like, you look in the UFC, Conor McGregor, one of those fighters. You know, you're just not going to get a boring fight with Conor McGregor. Justin Gaethje, another one of those fighters that you tell me Justin Gaethje is fighting, I want to be in front of the television set to watch that fighter fight. And you can go down the list. There's, you know, you look in Bellator, you tell me Patricio Pitbull was fighting, I want to watch Patricio Pitbull fight. And of course, you know, at the end of the month, or actually next week, excuse me, we've got, you know, Patricio Pitbull versus AJ McKee. I'm all in on that fight. And so, like, to me, that becomes a problem with the PFL is, like, you look at their roster and you say, well, who am I going out of my way to watch? And if Kayla Harrison is not a part of the PFL in 2022, I think the PFL's got a problem. You know, I when I look at this, to me, it screams more of there's a pending, you know, that the PFL is just unsure about where they're going to go in terms of television. And if they're not on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus in 2022, that's not a good sign for the promotion. Now, the other thing that he mentioned there was that there would be decisions made later regarding Nachan Schultz and Lance Palmer. I don't see Lance Palmer back in the PFL. I mean, if you look at everything Lance has said over the last, you know, 6 months to a year, it to me, it is very clear that is a relationship that is heading towards a divorce. There's no doubt in my mind in terms of that. And, you know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, if I was Lance Palmer, what I would do is because, look, I don't think, you know, he becomes a free agent tomorrow, which, you know, let's just hypothetically say that. I just don't think the UFC and Bellator are going to be that interested in him because of his fighting style. And I think that if I was his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, what I would do is I'd get him in the LFA, get him into a noble fight there in the LFA, and then just be ready for a potential short-notice fight, you know, in the UFC, because we see it happen all the time. But, you know, it's very clear to me. You look at how they match-made Lance Palmer this year in the PFL. That's a relationship that's going to a divorce. Nachan Schultz, I would imagine you would think he probably ends up back in the PFL. But for me, Lance Palmer, I think his days in the PFL are over. Of course, the PFL coming here to my home state of Florida here in August for the semifinals of all those tournaments I want to say it's like August 13th or so. They're going to be coming down to Fort Lauderdale at the Seminole Hard Rock Casino. By the way, speaking of Seminole Hard Rock Casino, of course, there's one here in my hometown of Tampa. CFFC is going to be coming to Tampa. They're going to be doing a Thursday show in September. September 16th. So I'm thinking about trying to go out to that one. And I will tell you, I was talking with somebody on Friday night and we were talking about the Bare Knuckle Show, which is on Friday here in Tampa. And I was like, you know what? I might go. Now, I mentioned on the last episode of the podcast, like, I can't remember. I think the Paulie Artem fight may have been the last combat sports event that I've attended in person. Because I was trying, like, we were talking about Regional MMA and checking out Regional MMA, and I was like, man, I can't really recall the last time I saw a Regional MMA promotion, because a lot of that here in Tampa, you know, the RFC was a long-standing regional promotion here in Tampa. They haven't done, I want to say, man, it's been like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years since they did a show, because the venue that they always did their show at got sold, and I want to say got turned into a housing community. And so I haven't been out to MMA promotion. So I'm thinking about maybe going out to Bare Knuckle this week. I'm not sure if I will or not. I got a buddy coming in for his 40th birthday party. So I don't know. Maybe if we'll end up at the Bare Knuckle show or not, but I'm actually kind of thinking about it. I was looking at that card and you know, obviously you've got Paige and Rachel headlining the event. You've got three, I guess we'll just call them social. I forget what Bare Knuckle is calling them, but basically it's three social media fights between YouTubers and TikTokers. And man, that is what combat sports has now become here in 2021. But I also saw locally, there's two local fighters fighting each other. Abel Velasquez and Gene Herrera, of course. Gene, we saw in the UFC, and I just happened to see, you know, going down my Facebook timeline last night, of a coach here locally, or now a retired coach. He's not coaching anymore. And he had coached both Abby and Herrera. And he had said, like, that fight had been kind of approached years ago. And he told him, like, don't fight each other. You're local guys. I don't want to be a part of this. But they're doing that, the bare knuckle thing. And so, yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's really interesting. A lot of, you know, here in Tampa, a lot of those regional fighters have gone that bare knuckle route, and you know, how much of that is just because it's the opportunity to make some money, because there's just not regional shows here. And you know, of course, as time goes on, maybe we'll get more shows going up and going. Do want to mention next week I'm going to be heading over to Orlando for the Association of Boxing Commission and Combative Sports meeting. Working on doing a commissioner roundtable, had some kind of things come up with that, so kind of adjusting some things in terms of that. But I am looking, I do know Mike Mazzulli will be a part of that roundtable. He is confirmed for that. And I know working with him of getting some other regulators in on that one. I will tell you that when I go over there, I'm kind of hoping there's someone from the Texas Commission there, because I would love to sit there and have a conversation with them about their marijuana laws in terms of the threshold. I mean, look, I you know, we can say whatever we want about marijuana, but to me, it's like the fact that their threshold is still 50 milligrams per milliliter, to me, is absolutely crazy. But, you know, another person I do want to talk to is Adam Rohrbach. Of course, he runs the Kansas Commission there. They've been doing a lot of things. You know, kind of interested, you know, talk to him about really open scoring, because that is something that they have done there. And you know, and obviously, you know, I'm already been kind of thinking about, you know, topics to have for that commissioner roundtable, where, you know, one I think I'm probably going to lead it off with is, what is the biggest issue right now in combat sports? You know, what is that issue? I will say this, I think I will probably bring up the VADA tweet in relation to drug testing in the UFC, Bellator, or more about Bellator and PFL, to kind of get that opinion there, as you know, VADA sent that one tweet and they went pretty quiet after that. So yeah, there's some interesting things I do want to speak about. You know, it's always great to go to those ABC meetings and have those conversations, and, you know, sit there and just, you know, kind of talk to these regulators and pick their brain on things. You know, sometimes that's, I've done that in the past, where there's something that's happened, you know, and I just pick up the phone with various regulators and I just, you know, I pick their brain and try to figure out what's going on. But that'll be next week. So that'll probably be on the first, that show will probably come out the first week of August. So look out for here on the MMA Report podcast. Of course, as always, appreciate you taking time out of your day to download and listen to this episode of the podcast. Of course, new episodes come out every Sunday and Wednesday. The Wednesday podcast this week will come out a little later on Wednesday evening. I'm actually out of town the next couple of days, so myself and Daniel are not recording till late Wednesday afternoon, so we'll get that out there. I'm sure we'll talk about what happened last night at UFC Vegas 31 with Islam Makhachev going out there and getting the win there over Thiago Moses. I did like the call out of RDA. Of course, you had the just absolutely tremendous promo there by Waleed following win over Amanda Lemos, which clearly he did not translate what she said. I think it's very clearly. And I mean, look, like I like the fact that, you know, she wants a top opponent, but it's like I always say, man, with those call outs, you gotta be realistic. She's not getting a top five opponent in her next fight. I mean, unless it's like an absolute short notice fight, that's just not gonna happen. We'll talk about Bellator, I'm sure. I have not watched Bellator yet. I went out on Friday night with one of my friends, and so I did not. I've seen the results, but I'm actually going to sit down today and watch that card. As actually, I gotta sit there and watch that card so I can do my rankings for as being a panelist there on the Bellator ranking system. So I'll be doing that today. And of course, if you ever have any you know, topics, questions, anything you want me to talk about here on the MMA Report podcast, whether it's here on the Sunday edition or whether it's on the Wednesday edition with myself and Daniel, You can do that. You can shoot me an email, jason@themareport.com. You can also hit me up if you want to slide into those Instagram DMs. I think that's probably about the best way to do it. My Instagram handle is @jason_Floyd. Of course, that's also my Twitter handle. So that's going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast. Appreciate Jason Witt and Brett Martin coming on the podcast. And of course, as always, you can check out all of my video interviews over at themareport.com and the MMA Report YouTube channel.